Good morning and welcome. I would encourage you, call you to open your Bibles and join me in Psalm 63. We're going to look at a couple of verses there, verses 1 and 2 in this message I've entitled, Keep the Fire Burning. This sermon series on the heart issues of Christian life change initially began over a year ago in June of 2024. I preached 3 of the 5 messages and then paused, beginning another series. Today is the final sermon. In the previous 4 messages, we considered that life change is a partnership. God has a part, we have a part, teachers have a part, and fellow believers also have a part. God works in us, we work out, teachers work with us, and believers work together. We need to understand, you need to understand your part. We also considered that we need to recognize who we are. Well, who are you? Well, if you ask Jesus Christ, he'll tell you. As a believer in him, you are accepted. You are valued. You are capable and you're forgiven. We also considered that God loves you. And if you really want to understand love, you need to look to the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross is the ultimate expression of God's incomprehensible love for mankind, because we deserved his punishment, and instead, because of Jesus' sacrifice, we received his forgiveness. And then we considered that we have God's power in our lives. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living within you, and you have access to God's grace to help as you serve him, as you remain surrendered to his lordship for direction. You will have that power. A story I read on Monday, my friend John and I went out for lunch. I got to go to the bank first, John said. I need some cash. I also knew I had to get some gas. Both items were on my to-do list. We were going to lunch, so getting gas could wait. The fuel gauge was on the little red line, signaling that the tank was empty. But I often drive my car with the gauge signaling empty. My daughter and my wife will inform me, you're running on empty. You better stop and get some gas. I know, I argue. But when the needle gets to that point, there's always a gallon or two left in the tank. I was sure that we could get lunch and then stop at a gas station on my way home from work. I was wrong. After lunch, as John and I were on our way back to the office, the car coughed and sputtered and stopped about a half a block short of a gas station. Let me emphasize that until Monday, I had not run out of gas in years, even though I had driven the car with the gauge on empty plenty of times. Silently, I berated myself. How could you let this happen? Why do you always do this? When are you ever going to learn? You know, as Christians, we can also run on empty spiritually. We can find ourselves feeling like the psalmist in our text, in Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." During empty spiritual times, we have no energy to engage in ministry. We find no enjoyment in reading the Bible. We have little peace and contentment. We have action without any emotion into it. We talk without power. And we apply truth without love. An empty spiritual tank is a path to disaster, just like a car out of gas. We cough and we sputter and we pull over to the shoulder, out of service, unable to go any farther. We're drained. Everything is chaotic. The Bible seems lifeless. Our devotional life becomes a boring habit. We have no desire to pray. Worship is in vain. Serving Christ becomes unfulfilling. And then the questions come. Some of them seem like torture. Why don't I love God the way I did before? Why am I so dry and exhausted? Why don't I care about the things of God as I did when I was first saved? Why don't I spend time with Him? Listen, folks, spiritual emptiness is one of the most serious threats to Christian health. But we can overcome spiritual emptiness by applying four practices. Four practices. First, overcome emptiness by getting sufficient spiritual nourishment. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Jesus' practice. Jesus, our example, our Lord. He got up early. He got alone, and he spent time with the Father in prayer. My, if Jesus did that, if Jesus felt he needed to be in that communion regularly with the Father, how much more do we? Listen, without tune-ups, without repairs, without maintenance, without servicing, and without refilling the gas tanks, a car will eventually sputter out for one reason or another. And so will your walk with Jesus. Someone wrote, "If your intake doesn't exceed your output, then upkeep will be your downfall. The one who gives out much must take in much." You can hide spiritual malnourishment for a while. I mean, you can fake it. You can get along without regular intake from God's word for a while. For a while. I mean, you know the right lingo. You can say the right prayers. You can give the right answers to Bible questions. You can prepare and present Bible studies. You can wing it for a while. But be sure and know that disaster will eventually strike you. What's the antidote to spiritual malnourishment? A consistent time alone with God in prayer and deliberate time of personal nourishment with God through His Word. Personal fellowship with the Father in heaven was the top priority of Jesus. He was never too busy to do it. In fact, when his ministry was the busiest, that's when he made certain that he kept in daily touch with his Father. If Jesus needed that fellowship with God, how much more do we need it? You must be getting sufficient spiritual nourishment. Second, overcome emptiness by engaging in spiritual obedience. James chapter 1 and verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. This is the fact. This is a fact. A boat will rust and rot out quicker in dry dock than out in the ocean, in the open water. A car will rust out faster sitting in the driveway than being driven daily. Christians are equipped to serve and will dry rot and rust out sitting idly and not engaging in ministry and service. What is the antidote to idleness? Well, give away yourself in service and ministry. For every quiet time, you need an action time. It's practice. It's application. It's learning the truths and principles of God's word and acting them out in daily living. That's obedience in your walk with Jesus. You must be engaging in spiritual obedience. Third, overcome emptiness by avoiding spiritual overcommitment. It's easy to be overcommitted in the Christian life, to develop in ministry what is often referred to as spiritual overstrain. Too much of even a good thing can be damaging. Too much fertilizer on a lawn can kill it. A week full of activities, bearing your soul, engaging in spiritual warfare through prayer, seeking to change lives through sharing God's word, will bring spiritual dryness and emotional exhaustion. What is the antidote to spiritual overstrain? Well, prioritize activities and focus on the top ones. Back off on the lower ones, the lower priorities. Always spend time in devotion, Bible reading, and prayer. Spend time as the student rather than the teacher. The worshiper rather than the leader. take periodic breaks and be ministered to rather than being the one always ministering. And this applies to every Christian, whether you're in leadership or not. You must be avoiding spiritual overcommitment. And then fourth, overcome emptiness by replenishing physical resources. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 down to about verse 11. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. I know that passage is not about it per se, but the principle is there. Work calls for rest. A disregard for your physical body will affect your psychological health and cause you to experience a spiritual drought. Someone wrote, if you don't come apart, you will come apart. Even finely tuned cars in NASCAR races need to make periodic pit stops to replenish for the rest of the race. You can't separate body and soul. They're linked together. Ignoring the body brings serious consequences to the soul and eventually results in spiritual emptiness. What's the antidote to physical overwork? Well, God commanded us to have a day of rest. The prescription for physical overwork is regular times of replenishment. A group of American explorers went to Africa and they employed some native guides for their trip. On the first day, they rushed to see as much as they possibly could, and they did the same on each successive day. On the seventh day, the Americans noticed that the guides were sitting under a tree. Come on, the Americans shouted. We got to get going. One of the guides replied, we no go today. We rest to let our souls catch up with our bodies. You need times of personal, physical replenishment. You need time to get back in touch with your Creator and be reminded of what is important. Let your soul catch up with your body. Let your tired body be refueled. The Christian life is not like a drag race. It's more like a cross-country race. And to survive for the long haul, you need to constantly and consistently engage in activities that keep your body, your soul, and your spirit running in top condition. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you that you do care about us and you call us to be balanced in our ministry. That we work, but we also rest. We work and expend, but we also replenish. Father, may we be balanced. May we be confronted and convicted by the Spirit that we would walk in such a way that we might be truly effective as we can be in service to you. Father, I pray that you would deal with each one of us for your glory, for your purposes, that our commitments would be to effective ministry for the gospel. And Father, it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.